Hello, and thank you for joining us today from the Sleep Pill, the podcast where together we will dive into the complex world of sleep in plain language. This program is sponsored by the Sleep Neuro Lab. My name is Cesar Jayaro.
My name is Julio González.
Today's special episode of Sleep Pills is sponsored by the Sleep Neuro Lab Clinic in honor of the World Sleep Day. We are diving into one of the most fundamental aspects of health, sleep. This year's slogan is Make Sleep Health a Priority. And that's exactly what we'll be talking about today. I'm Dr. Cesar Jayaro, a clinical psychologist specializing in sleep and mental health. And with me today is Dr. Julio González, a psychiatrist with extensive experience in treating sleep disorders. Welcome, Julio. How are you?
Thank you very much, Cesar. I'm very happy to be here. And I think this is very important. Sleep plays a critical role in both mental and physical health, but unfortunately is often neglected. So we tend to push sleep aside when we should be making a lot of attention to this. But that comes at a serious cost.
Okay, Julio, so let's start with the basics. Why is sleep is so important for, the mind and the body health in general?
Maybe something that stresses out the very high importance of sleep is that it is preserved from an evolutionary point of view. Sleep is present in jellyfish and is present along all the animal kingdom into the big animals and, of course, into the mammals and into the human beings. That tells us a lot. So, sleep is not just about resting, it's an active process where the brain and body go through essential recovery and maintenance. During sleep, our brain consolidates memories, regulates emotion, flushes out toxins. Meanwhile, our body repairs tissues, restores energy, and regulates hormones that can control metabolism, immune function, and even appetite.
Wow, exactly. Many people don't realize that chronic sleep, for example, deprivation, can contribute to serious health problems. Just more than feeling tired, it affects our ability to, for example, to concentrate, manage stress, or regulate emotion. That's something that I usually see. But also affects, let's say, mental health. I mean, lack of sleep is linked very strong with cardiovascular disease, obesity, and even weak immune system.
That's a crucial point. Many studies show that people who regularly don't sleep enough have a higher risk of many illnesses like blood pressure, high blood pressure, heart disease, strokes, metabolic issues like diabetes, obesity, even erectile dysfunction in male. So, sleep regulates many processes, the blood pressure, the inflammation levels. When we don't get enough sleep, the body is in a constant state of stress.
Oh, that is right. And the stress response, that's really important because can lead to the production of cortisol, overproduction actually, and that contributes, for example, to weight gain, insulin resistance, and increased risk for diabetes, as you have said. And I have read that even research is showing that, for example, sleep deprivation increase hunger hormones like ghrelin or leptin. So that's why, for example, the overeating happens when you are stressed or you have a lack of sleep or you have a poor diet choices, something that we can find really frequent in patients and in regular basics in people's life.
That is very correct. And also, it has an impact on the immune system. Sleep is one important moment when our body produces cytokines, which help fight infections and inflammation. And that's why people who don't get enough sleep are more likely to get sick, take longer to recover from illnesses, even The intermittent hypoxia has been associated to illnesses as cancer.
Wow, that's amazing. And now that we have covered why sleep is so important, Julio, let's talk about the duration of quality. That's a very, let's say, often question that we all have all time. So we often hear that we need 8 hours for sleep, of sleep basically. And is that a universal rule, Julio? What do you think about that?
Certainly not. So the sleep needs vary by many factors. One of them, probably the most important, is age, but there are also very important interpersonal variations. What we know for sure is that adults generally need between 7 and 9 hours, and we know that people who sleep too little or too much have a higher risk of many illnesses. We know also that teenagers require around 8 to 10 hours. Children, small children, can sleep a lot. They have a huge requirements of sleep. But also, we're talking about the time, but what is equally important is the quality. If someone gets enough sleep, 8 hours or so, but the quality is not adequate because they frequently wake up, they don't get into deep sleep stages, they will feel exhausted and they will have a higher risk of many illnesses.
That's a great point. And actually, that's something that we find in the practice usually. I mean, you can see people who sleep or patients who sleep 8 hours, for example, but they wake up really, like in feeling no rest, or let's say, or they complain about, for example, short sleep or broken sleep. And that's basically what you define here, quality of sleep. I mean, it's not enough the hours. The quality is really important here.
Yes, that is correct. And that good quality mean falling asleep within the right time, staying asleep through the night, and of course, waking up feeling refreshed. And it has to do a lot with the sleep architecture. And if you wake multiple times and have difficulty falling back to sleep, probably you will feel tired during the day, and that suggests there is a problem.
And that's something, I always emphasize in the CBTI therapy, that we do usually for insomnia or sleep problems. I mean, many people, and that's one of the main problems, have erratic sleep schedule. Sometimes, for example, they go to bed during the weekdays, and they sleep for 5 hours, and they try to catch up during the weekend for 8 hours. That's really bad for the body internal clock, I mean, you don't restore fully cognitive functioning in this kind of pattern. And this is something that we have found a lot.
Yes, that's completely true. The sleep debt accumulates. And while you can recover to a certain point by sleeping more, chronic sleep deprivation leads to long-term damage. That's why maintaining regular sleep schedules is so important.
All right. Well, now that we know that, let's gonna talk about the clinical side, because of course we're talking about the sleep without any problem, like a disorder. But now, talking about sleep disorders, insomnia, for example, is one of the most prevalent and important and reported issues that patients say in the consultancy, usually in the clinical side. So people struggle falling asleep because of the racing thoughts, stress, or anxiety. Our life is really fast paced in regular. So, what do you typically recommend?
Well, insomnia, of course, is the most prevalent sleep disorder. And whether the approach depends upon the cause, all the guidelines suggest that the first line of treatment is cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia, the CBTI you mentioned before, which is highly effective in a wide range of patients. Sometimes for short term, you might use medication, and that's okay. But for long term, pharmacological treatment is not the best option. It's the CBTI.
That's very good to hear because, I mean, usually patients believe that a pill or something is going to solve the problem, you know? And I have seen, for example, in restriction therapy, which is a really effective approach, you know, you train the brain to associate the bed with sleeping instead of, for example, turning around or tossing in general. But let's say that we have something more serious because I know that insomnia could be uncomfortable. And of course, it's a problem if you have a massive insomnia. But for example, let's say, for example, apnea, sleep apnea, this is really serious. So it's undiagnosed. What do you think about that?
Yes, sleep apnea is definitely a major problem. It is highly prevalent, and also it has very important potential consequences for health, for physical and mental health. It causes repeated breathing interruptions that produce oxygen deprivation in the brain and increase risk for many illnesses like high blood pressure, heart disease, cognitive decline, and many others. And many people don't even realize they have it.
Exactly, and that's the problem. I have seen cases in the practice where people is misdiagnosed with depression or chronic fatigue syndrome, for example, and the real diagnosis who was not diagnosed properly was the sleep apnea. And once they start the treatment therapy, for example, their mood and energy increase a lot. So that's something really serious.
Yes, that's correct. And that's why having a proper evaluation is so important. And there are many other sleep disorders, something like restless leg syndrome or repetitive limb movement, which causes not only discomfort, but it might impact in a very important way how people is able to fall asleep or even wake people many times during the night, what we call arousals.
Wow. So that's really important. And that's exactly why we're going through this kind of split pills to give more resources about this. But let's give to our listeners, Julio, some practical strategies to improve sleep because it's too much theory here. So what are your top recommendations about these sleep problems that we could have or somebody could have?
Well, you mentioned before one, which is one of the most important ones, and is maintaining consistent sleep schedules. That mean going to bed and waking up at the same time every day, having a routine before going to bed, reducing the screen time. Of course, we know the blue light disrupts the melatonin production, but also these screens are usually designed to keep people engaged with these devices, so they are very activating. Also, avoid caffeine and alcohol close to bedtime are good advices.
Yeah, that's true. That's totally true. That's a great tip, what you have given. And I will add something else. I mean, the screen time is a huge and massive problem we are having nowadays because everybody has the telephone next to the bed, you know? So that's really bad. But also, you know, I mean, the routines, let's say creating a relaxing bedtime routine, for example, reading, meditation, or deep breathing, okay, can help. And if, of course, I mean, one of the main problems, if you wake up in the middle of the night, avoid looking at the telephone. I mean, focus on relaxation and going back to bed. You know what I mean? That makes no sense to scroll down or something like that.
That is correct. Also, getting control on your environment, keeping the room dark, keeping a proper temperature, being cool, not too cold, but cool, and of course, quiet. That also helps significantly with the sleep. And of course, if somebody struggles with sleep, despite all these things that we have discussed, don't hesitate and look help with your physician.
That's totally true. I mean, I think we underestimate sometimes the impact of the sleep in our quality of life in general, you know? I mean, I think sleep is not illusory. I think it's necessary. And if we have to prioritize sleep because it's one of the best things that we can do for our mental health and physical health.
Absolutely. And if you're experiencing ongoing sleep problems, talk to your doctor. The sleep disorders are treatable, and getting the right support can make a huge difference. That's why we have to prioritize the sleep health, as the Sleep World Day mentions.
That's great. Thank you so much, Julio. It was a very insightful conversation.
It was a great pleasure for me also to talk to you today, Cesar.
And to our listeners, remember, make sleep health a priority. See you next time. Thank you for listening to us today. If you wish more information about what we discussed in this program, you can contact us at info@sleepneurolab.com. And remember, sleep well, live healthy, and be happy.
Déjame parar acá.